It's interesting, as we kind of dive into the scene here, the first three verses, the Holy Spirit, inspiring the pen of John, doesn't give us anything about the physical scene in the first three verses. You notice that? The first three verses is the Holy Spirit pulling the curtains back, not describing the physical scene, but allowing us to see what's happening in Jesus' mind and in Judas' mind. And that's really important because as we watch Jesus go through this scene the night before he is arrested and eventually crucified, it is important to the Holy Spirit that we know what Jesus knew, that we know what Jesus was thinking about. It's important that he pull the important enough that he pull the curtains back and show us, hey, what's going on in Jesus' mind right here? Not just what he does, but what's he thinking about? Watch what it says. It says the feast of Passover, and Jesus knows that his hour had come that he would depart out of this world. Jesus knows that he's about to die. He knows that. He is consciously aware that the time is very near that he will be beaten and crucified for the sin of the world. What else does he know? He knows that he loved his own. It says that having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That Jesus is looking at this motley crew of disciples that he had pulled off the banks of the Sea of Galilee. These guys were rough fishermen. These guys were tax collectors. These guys were zealots. He's looking at these guys, and he loves those guys. And he has loved them, and he's going to love them to the end. I know I'm about to die, and I'm looking at these 12 men, and I can't help but love these guys. Judas already knows that he's going to betray Jesus. Judas is sitting there among the 12. He's already put in place the plan. Most likely, he's already been to see the Pharisees. He's already received the 30 pieces of silver. He's just looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. And so Judas knows that he's going to betray him. Verse 3. Jesus knows that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Here's what's happening. Jesus is consciously aware that he had been given all authority by God the Father. He knows that he had come from God the Father. He knows that he's going back to God the Father. Here's the point. Jesus knows who he is. I've heard people debate before, well, did Jesus know that he was God? Oh, yeah, he did. And he knew that all authority had been given to him. Now, so you ask this question. If Jesus knew that all authority had been given to him, if he had authority to do whatever seemed best to him at that point, and he knew that he came from God, and whatever happened, he was going back to God, why in the world did he sit there and put up with this trash? Why didn't he just say, the heck with you, I have the authority to do this, and I'm out of here. I'm going back to the Father. Why in the world would he do that? Why wouldn't he do that? Why would he sit there? You know why? Because he loved them. And what we're about to watch Jesus do is what love does. We needed to know. Jesus knew the authority that he had. Jesus loved his own. Jesus knew what was about to happen to them. So knowing what Jesus knew, the point is the only reason he would do this is because he loved these disciples. That's the only reason he would do it. Because he loved them. And by the way, let me just what we are about to watch, his love, what we see in these first three verses, this is the motivation for what Jesus is about to do. This is what love does. Love serves. Love serves. So watch this. Verse 4. Knowing all of these things, loving his disciples, he got up from the supper and he laid aside his garments, basically took off his outer tunic, wrapped a towel around his waist. That's the equivalent of he got to the kitchen and he put his apron on. And he girded himself with the towel and he poured water into the basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Jesus is sitting there at the supper and he gets up and the disciples, where's he going? We're not done with dinner yet. Jesus pulls his outer tunic off, wraps a towel around his waist, gets a bowl of water, and he goes over and he kneels down next to the first disciple and he picks his feet up and they're all sitting there. It's hard for us to imagine the humility that was involved in Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Now, follow me for just a second. The reason that it's hard for us to understand the humility involved is because in our culture, at least in our day, the idea that there are classes of people who do not deserve the same level of dignity, that is a revolting concept to most of us. Let me give you a concept. It was slaves who washed people's feet. The idea that there is a certain class of people who do not deserve the same dignity that we all deserve, we don't even think like that anymore, praise God. But there was a time, and you think about this for just a second, and this is just history, y'all. 50 years ago in Selma, Alabama, there was a time where a black lady was asked to get up and walk to the back of the bus and to sit in the back of the bus. Why? Because she was black. Now you think about doing that. I can't even fathom that happening. I certainly can't even fathom being the one to ask her to get up and move to the back of the bus so I could sit in the front. But that happened. And you know what? When we think about that, and we think about a lady being forced to sit in the back of the bus because of certain type of person that she was, that's revolting to us. And it ought to stir our sense of justice and our sense of fairness. And we ought to say, whoa, wait a minute. Something's wrong with that. But in the first century, if you were a slave, it was not just that you were going to sit in the back of the bus. It was, you're going to wash my feet. You think about that. Hey, slave, come here. Wash my feet. Yes, sir. It was a class of people, and they did not deserve the dignity that others got. And so Jesus is the teacher. And Jesus gets up, gets his bowl, his towel, and he kneels down and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. Imagine. I want you to imagine for just a second, and I am intentionally using an illustration from our American history because I want us to feel this. I want you to imagine in the 1840s, a white plantation owner who has black slaves, and he goes to the slave quarters and he starts to wash his slaves' feet. What? Nobody would do that. That's shocking. But Jesus did. Jesus was the teacher. And he began to wash their feet. And he gets to Peter. And Peter says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Why? Because that's incredibly shocking. I can't believe you're doing this. Jesus, I mean, you're going to wash, really, Jesus? You're going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, "What I'm doing now, you don't understand now." He said, "But you will later." And Peter says, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus, sitting in the front of the bus, and he gets back up and he says, "Hey, Peter, you go take my seat. I'll sit in the back of the bus for you." "Oh, no way, Jesus. There's no way, Jesus, that you're going to give up your seat for me. I'm not letting you do it. I am not going to take your seat. I'll sit back here, Jesus. You deserve the honor. I'm not going to sit in the back of the bus for Jesus." Peter says, "Jesus, you're never going to wash my feet." Watch this. Verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 8. Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, then you have no part with me." Now, some of your translations might say "in me." New American Standard says "with me." That preposition is fairly important. It's the concept that God was at work through His Son and was accomplishing His goals to save the world, to bring salvation to the world, to bring the gospel to the world through His Son. And Jesus looks at Peter and He says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet right now, then you are going to have no part with me. You are not going to be able to be a part of what God is doing through me. You're not going to be able to be one of my servants. You're not going to have a relationship with me and be used by me." And so that's pretty important. Peter, with all of his heart, Peter wants to be with Jesus. "I want to have fellowship with Jesus. I want to be useful to Jesus. I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. I want to be with Jesus." That's the greatest goal in Peter's mind. And so what does Peter say? "Well, if that's what's at stake, if being in fellowship with you, if being useful to you, if being a part of what you are doing, if that's what's at stake, then Jesus, wash not just my feet, but my head as well. Jesus, you just wash, you do whatever you want to do. You just wash everything, wash it all, because Jesus, I will do whatever I need to do to be in fellowship with you, to be useful to you, to be a part of what you are doing." Let me stop right here, and I want to, let's just think about this for just a second. What is it worth it to you to have man close fellowship with Jesus, where He guides your steps and He teaches you? What is it worth to you to be useful to our Lord, where He can take your life and use it for His glory? What is it worth it to you, man, to be working with Christ and accomplishing what God wants to accomplish through our lives? What is that worth it to you? What is that worth to you? Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet right now, you have no part with me." There's more going on here than just stinky feet, y'all. Y'all know that, right? You see that. There's more going on here than just stinky feet. Let me tell you what is happening. Jesus, in the form of a servant, Jesus is removing from Peter's life all that will keep Peter from being useful to Christ and being in fellowship with Christ. Let me say that again. Jesus is not just cleaning his stinky feet. Jesus is removing from Peter's life all the things that will keep Peter from being useful to Jesus and being in fellowship with Jesus. What is he talking about? He's not talking about stinky feet. He's talking about sin. Here is the truth of the matter. That sin in the life of a believer, and this is a follower, this is Peter, he's a disciple. Sin in the life of a believer will keep you from having a relationship, a close fellowship with Christ. Sin in the life of a believer will keep you from being useful to Christ. Sin in the life of a believer will keep you from doing what Christ has given you to do. Sin will ruin your relationship with Christ. And so here's what Peter is saying, or here's what Jesus is saying. Listen, what Jesus is telling Peter is that as Peter, you don't need just forgiveness of sin. What Jesus is doing here is removal of sin. Jesus is not just offering forgiveness to his disciples. Jesus is offering removal of sin. And it's a continual need. Let me tell you what happens. We as believers, people who have made a profession of faith in Christ, this is the temptation. The temptation is to think in our minds, you know what, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I've been forgiven of my sins, right? Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I'm forgiven. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm forgiven. Past tense. It's done. It's taken care of. My sins are forgiven. Past, present, future sins, they're all forgiven. And then we say to ourselves, what else is there, right? Once I trust Jesus as my Savior, once my sins are forgiven, what else is there? Man, this passage right here, what Jesus does with his disciples, this passage is a clear picture that you know what? You don't just need Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We don't just need Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We need Jesus to come back and continually, daily, sometimes even hourly, we need Jesus to clean our feet. We need Jesus to remove the sin out of our life so that we can be in close fellowship with him, so that we can be in useful to him. And you know what? Jesus is, he is willing to do that, and that is shocking. My fear is that so many Christians, because in our minds our sins are forgiven, on a day-to-day basis, what use do I really have for Jesus? But here's the thing. Do you know Jesus is willing? Do you know there is power? Those bad attitudes that we have where we get frustrated with people. Rather than being kind and gentle and patient, we become frustrated. Those things that keep popping up in our life that we don't really like, we know that maybe God thinks they're wrong, but you know what? We're tempted to say, well, that's just who I am. No, it's not who you are. It might have been who you used to be, but if you have trusted Christ, it is not who you are now, and Jesus has the power to come and to make you new. Jesus has the power to give us victory over bad attitudes. Jesus has the power to cleanse us and give us victory over addictions and things that have us in their grips. Jesus has the power to cleanse us from sin. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, because he's going to have to come back and do it again. But Jesus has the power and wants to do that in our lives. And so when we say, well, my sins are forgiven, what else is there? Holy smoke! Man, you need Jesus today and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. What do we need him for? You need him to come in to your life and to be your servant. What does that mean? What he needs to do is he needs to come in and he needs to wash your stinking feet. And he needs not just to forgive me of my sin, he needs to remove the sin from my life. There are times, sometimes in the afternoon, y'all have heard me use this illustration before, but in my life, it just is. A lot of the times, my wife, I will come in the afternoon or in the evening sometime, and something will have happened, and listen, I get bad attitude sometimes. I wish I didn't. I just do. But my wife can look at me when I walk in the door, and she can know. And you know what she says to me? This is what she says. She says, I can tell right now, you need to go spend some time with the Lord. You know what she's saying? She's saying, you need to go let Jesus wash your feet before you come in here and interact with us. Because it will be a whole lot better if Jesus washes your feet first. And you know what? Jesus does that. Jesus can do that. Do you know that there's power in Christ to gain victory over bad attitudes, to gain victory over sin? Do you know there's power for that? Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, listen, man. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part with me. And let me just say, that's how serious this is. You want to have a part with Christ. You want to have a relationship with Christ where he guides and teaches and instructs and shapes and transforms and provides. You want to have a relationship with Christ where he uses our lives, where we are useful to him in what the Father is doing through him. We want to be useful to the Lord. Then you know what? We've got to get the sin out. We've got to have Jesus wash our feet. It's not just forgiveness. We need removal. That's what Jesus is doing. There is a continual, daily need on the part of the disciples for Jesus to do this in our lives. Every day. Every day. And I can tell, I get busy and I go 2 or 3 days without some time with the Lord in the morning, and man, it doesn't take me long. Sometimes just one day. But I get busy. I don't know how you go through the day without Christ. Because Chad Brady, if you knew the natural Chad Brady, you would not like him very much. I don't like him. And I need the Lord, and you do too. We need him to come in, wash our stinky feet. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet," I can't even believe he says this, "you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is using one stone to kill two birds. He's using one scene to teach a couple of very important lessons. The first one is just a disciple's continual need for Christ to wash our feet. We have a continual need for Christ to come back in, to cleanse us, to wash us. The second, though, is a lesson for us as disciples that he teaches not just with his words, but by example. And that is that we, as his disciples, we are servants. Y'all know that, right? We are servants. Daylight saving time. So then we view ourselves. He says the slave is not greater than the master. We're no greater than Jesus. And so we should be doing the same things as Jesus. Jesus did not come into that room. Now listen, hear this. Jesus did not come into that room with his 12 disciples with the thought in mind, these guys are going to help me do what I want to do. You see that? Jesus walked into that room with the mindset that said, I am going to help these guys be what they need to be. Jesus is teaching his disciples to have the attitude of a servant. Let me give you an illustration. This is Sunday morning. You came to church Sunday morning. But the fact of the matter that you're all here means that you guys came to church. Did you come into these doors this morning with the thought, I'm here because I want to get a blessing? Or did you come into church this morning with the thought, I'm walking in these doors because I want to be a blessing? Did you come here with the idea that either my Sunday school teacher or Lowell as the song leader or me as the pastor, the people around you that are going to shake your hands, you may have come here with the idea, hey, all of these people are going to help me. Jesus is saying, as a disciple of Christ, have the attitude of a servant. Come with the idea, I'm coming this morning because I want to be a blessing to somebody. I fear that our broader church culture has become very me-centric. We go to church on Sunday mornings because, hey, this is my time to worship. This is me time to get a blessing from God. This is where I go. I don't go to church for anybody. You hear these things. I don't go to church for the other people there. I go to church to get my blessing from the Lord. I go to church so that I can meet with the Lord. Listen, can I share something with you? You need to be meeting with the Lord all during the week. You need to be filled up when you come on Sunday morning. You need all throughout the week, sit before the Lord and let Him wash your feet. Spend time in His Word and let Him teach you all through the week so that when we all gather together, man, we are a blessing to each other. We're serving each other. Does that mean that you're not going to be served too? Oh, it absolutely does. And you know what? Our Sunday school classes, man, I'm so thankful for our Sunday school teachers. We have a great group of Sunday school teachers who bring the Word every Sunday morning, and you will be fed. That's very important. And God willing, man, my greatest desire is that you come to love God's Word and its author. That's my greatest desire. And so will you be fed? Absolutely. Is it a blessing to each of us? Absolutely. But Jesus is teaching us, be a servant. Have a servant's attitude toward the people around you. And you know what? That might mean on occasion, that might mean that you go to somebody and you need to point out sin in their life because you see it. Maybe they do or maybe they don't. But it may mean that you need to go and wash their feet in the same way that Jesus did. Hey man, I see this and it's going to destroy you and I just need to point this out to you. What's going on here? It may mean that. But Jesus is teaching us to have the same attitude that he did. Philippians, if we were to turn, we're not going to take the time. You turn to Philippians. Consider others more important than yourself. Can you believe God's word even says that? Consider others more important than yourself. Wow. It says that. So we come, we get together, we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together that we might encourage each other. Hebrews chapter 10. This is important, guys. This is Jesus the night before he was crucified. The last things that he says to his disciples. Guys, you need me continually. You need me. Not just for forgiveness of sin, but for removal of sin. And guys, watch what I'm doing. I'm serving you like you should serve others. It's important. And he's about to go, and he's about to allow himself to be nailed to a cross to pay for our sin that we might know him at all. Father, God, I praise you for teaching us these things. God, I thank you for your great love for us that led your son Jesus to serve us at all. God, that you would be faithful to us, be willing to serve us in such an incredible way. God, I pray that we would be humble enough to recognize our need to seek you, humble ourselves before you. God, we need you to wash our feet. Father, I pray that you'd make us servants. Give us servants' hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be free to do the work that he came into our hearts this morning to do. Bring fruit from your word, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And listen, if you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior,